Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 2, I taught that what we say and what we do may be two different things. Listen as we pick up on that point today.
It's my feet on his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
One will notice that these verses are a test for ourselves, but also it is a test concerning others with whom we may have fellowship. As we go to this text, now the first thing I want you to see here in verse 4 is that say and do are two different things. For an example, chapter 3 in verse 18, it'll say, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when we look at verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I think it's very important that we hone in on this word, know. It is the Greek word, gnoso, and it means to know experientially. This word was used in reference to the intimate relationship of a wife and husband in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25. Speaking of Joseph and Mary, and it says of Joseph, and knew her not, that is, he knew Mary not, till they had brought forth her firstborn son. So, she brought forth that firstborn son. To that point, there were not the normal one-flesh husband-wife relationship between them, because God had told Joseph that in a dream. So he knew her not till. Now the word till says that he wouldn't know her after that, and there would be children that would come from that relationship. But the word gnoso that is used here in verse 4, translated know, he that saith, I know him, has the idea then is that we know God experientially. We know him not only by the word of God and believing its truth, but by walking with God, we've come to know him more and more. Now, the point is that this person says, I know him, and it means that he is saying, I'm a good Christian, I'm right with God, and I'm living according to his word. That is, I'm in fellowship with him. I'm doing those things that please my God. And that's what it means when we're saying we know him. Now, how many did certain things, well, other times you refrained from doing some things based on your love for your spouse? Experience of knowing and loving them caused you to do things that pleased them. You didn't say some things that you knew would cause a problem, and some things you said that would bring joy to their heart, and some things you did and didn't do because of that. Again, that's experience. That is knowing them experientially as your love grows and your relationship grows over the years. Now, the word here, know, is what is called in the Greek a present indicative, meaning they continually are doing these things. They're keeping the commandments, in other words. They're walking with God, in other words. They're doing those things that are pleasing to him, in other words. And as a result of that, they know, for an example, in 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, the things that we know are wrong, that we do anyway, not pleasing in His sight, are also things that hinder our prayers with God. Now, so as we look at these things, we're saying that the indicative is continual, but they are constantly doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. And that's a question that we each have to ask ourselves. Do I do those things that are pleasing in His sight on a continuing basis? How often and how long does God see us? Always. He is always looking. My Heavenly Father watches over me. So, you say, I know Him, but you don't keep His commandments. The idea is that it's not a habit of your daily life. Now, it's not an idea that you obey these things on a regular basis in you. In other words, you just say, well, yeah, I do this from time to time, but hey, what do you think I am? Well, when you get that attitude, you're not obeying His commandments in the way that He's saying. If you love Him, you keep His commandments. If you know Him, you keep His commandments. So to say that you know Him, you keep not His commandments, you don't do that on a continuing basis, God says you're a liar and you know not the truth. Now, I don't know about you where you grew up, but better be ready to fight if somebody called you a liar, or if you called somebody a liar. That was a fighting word. But God says, you don't continually seek to obey Him. You don't really love Him. He said in John, back in the 15th chapter, I believe it is, or the 14th chapter, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that very clear? Is that straight? Of course it is. It's an identifying mark that shows our love for God. And so again, it's a habit of your life. Let's look back again at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 10. 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sin, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. Now, having read those three verses there, again, that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 10. With those thoughts in mind, I take you to James 4:17. Therefore, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we read there in the first chapter, say you have fellowship, you walk in darkness, you lie. You say we have no sin, you only deceive yourselves. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. We're calling God a liar, and His word is not in us. So that's pretty serious. So you know to do good, and you don't do it. And He says, it's sin. See, God's the one that tells us what sin is. That's what the Old Testament was about. He identified sin for us. We don't have to guess at it. Now think about this. Here are some biblical examples. Not just examples that we make, but biblical examples. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, at the end of that verse in Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. There is a colon. You say, why is that important? That means what follows is also connected to it. Okay, now, he says to provoke. Now, usually we think of the word as provoke, as make somebody mad. And because people today believe that, then they misunderstand the word provoke. For example, fathers, provoke not your children into wrath. And we say, we're just getting them mad by yelling at them and screaming. No, that's not what it means. It's urging them to do wrath. And here, you're urging them, strongly urging. That's what the word provoke has, a strong urging. And we find here, we're to strong, have a strong urging to consider one another, to strongly urge them to love and do good works. But that's a colon. And it says, here's the first thing he says after love and good works, and puts a colon. So we know that this is one of the things he's talking about that deals with love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now we'll see a couple things there. One of the things that is to provoke others into love and to good works is to strongly urge them to be faithful to God's house, not forsaking. Now, the word forsake means to leave altogether, but when you have an ing on it, then it changes the meaning. It's there, not there, there, not there, not forsaking the assembling. Assemble would be just a one-time getting together, but assembling is getting there, not there, getting there, having a new assembly, again, assemble, like we do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There is an assembly. So he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is. Even in that day, they had people that weren't faithful to God's house that could be there, but their convenience, their comfort was first. But then he says, exhorting. Again, the ing shows it's a continual over and over thing. So continually exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, if you believe that Jesus is coming soon, if you're looking at America, you're looking at this world, and you see all the troubles and trials, you say, boy, the Lord has to come soon. Then he says, don't be forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Be more faithful than you've ever been. And exhort others to do the same. Now, him that knoweth to do good doeth it not, to him to sin. Is this a good thing to do? Well, the Bible says it is. So if it's a good thing to do and we don't do it, what is it? It's sin. So it's good to provoke others unto love and good works, isn't it? If we don't, then what is it? Well, it's sin. Now, we don't like to admit that because in our minds, sin is going out robbing a bank. Sin is cheating with another man's wife or another woman's husband. What about church attendance? That's the first thing he gave as an example. Should we exhort others also to church attendance? Should we have tracts? Should we be on visitation? Should we be active in the work of the local church? You read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It has to do about really equipping us for the ministry to do the work. Now, I've had people that have sat in here and seem to have some Bible knowledge. But, you know, I'll go an entire year, never see them at a visitation, never see them walk an aisle. And it seems like there's a self-righteousness, and there are people who will be down on things that you do.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.